Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time and just being able to live like this, share community, all kind of stuff going on. This is just the way families work. And we thank you that you're involved. There's just all of these things we can do to serve you. There's concerns that we have. I mean, the gamut of facing the loss of loved ones, hearing of Craig, going to be with you, hearing of young children from less than a year, 9 years old, these really difficult things, but getting praises on these or just all of this. We thank you that we don't have to try to figure out what is going on. We may not know that, but we know that you're involved, Lord, and we do focus on the things that we do know, and that is that you love us, you're good, you're sovereign. And so we just say that to you by way of praise in the middle of all these requests, and pray that you would be working and encouraging and healing. And thank you for our time together, Lord, as we study your word, and that we focus on you and learn in such a way that we grow and impact the world for you. And I pray that in Christ's name, amen. All right, let's see how much time. Okay. All right. Hurry. It was like those things you can put it on 1.5. Yeah, I'm going to have to do that because I'm teaching. So we will, we'll get through what we can. But, so we've been talking about standing firm, the passages in the scripture, New Testament, about standing firm and the unique challenges of that in today's day and time and in our ages, multiple ages in this class. But many of us have been around for a while, been believers for a while, some, and that has unique strengths for standing firm because we've seen God be faithful in many, many decades. And then you're also dealing with cumulative things that you look at. For me, you look at this, just things like, you know, failures, things that I should have done. And so you get the cumulative effect of both that are difficult. So that's the context of this. To get into the specific topic, I've got to go with a Halloween grandkid story. Ben, age 5, which y'all may have heard about. But earlier this year, we were talking to Ben. Judy and I were having a conversation, and the topic of ghosts came up. So it's kind of Halloween day. But ghosts came up, and we were talking about it, and we started going, I don't know if he's going to kind of freak out. He goes, ghosts aren't real. Ghosts are just when people dress up in costumes, and they say boo, and they scare the pants off you. So today, we're going to talk about Satan. Segue there. But a couple of things have become clear to me as being a Christian in 2023 is that Satan is getting bolder. That satanic move across the universe, across the world, not about Israel, just all this stuff from there to here, Satan is getting bolder in his attacks. Number two, that I've been naive about this. I've been naive about that. And I think for as long as I can remember, I believe that Satan is a real and powerful personal entity with a powerful kingdom. But I may have lived like he's just someone in a costume that says boo. I mean, I haven't specifically, just kind of dealt with that. And I don't know that we have that luxury now. And so in the context, the reason I'm thinking of it in this context is there are so many New Testament passages about standing firm. And I've been reading those. So from Paul, James, and Peter, we know people in our lives who are standing firm and have stood firm for years and years. And we know some that don't and they fall away. We know when we fall away. And we know the danger of falling away. So my interest has been in finding, going through the scriptures on these and finding keys to how we can be those that continue to stand firm in Christ. And so, something began to to strike me about those passages. So let me just give you some. James 4:7 is the famous resist the devil and he will flee. Remember that? The word for resist there is in Greek is defined as to stand against. So again, it's falling in this category. 2 Thessalonians 2 is a long passage about the man of lawlessness, which is, the Antichrist, Satan's direct emissary. And it's a long passage about it. And Paul finishes 2:15. He says, so then, because of these warnings, stand firm and hold to the teachings. Ephesians 6:10. We can look at that for a second. Ephesians 6:10 and following is the famous armor of God section. But we're not looking at that whole thing right now. So 13 through beginning of 14. So Ephesians 6:13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after everything you have, after you've done everything to stand again, 14, stand firm then. And we'll stop with that, but stand against what? So you look up at 6:11-12. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. Beginning to scare the pants off me. That's what it's beginning to do. It's beginning to be scary. When you think about the reason behind that it's hard for us to stand firm is a personal, powerful evil. And so if we're dealing with that and we want to stand firm, we are directly in his crosshair, so to speak. So one more passage. It's 1 Peter, or like this, 1 Peter 5:8, basically through 14, but we'll read the first part of it. And in these are passages you've heard, but this one, 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So again, I want you to be aware and look more into this about how often spiritual warfare is discussed by these New Testament authors. It was very real. Remember Harry Reader saying, spiritual warfare is not an exotic subset of the Christian life. It is the Christian life. And I think that's really, really well put. It is not, oh, that's an interesting topic over there. Spiritual warfare, I might look at that. It is what we are facing. And it looks like a lot of other things. That's why Satan is so good at it. It looks like we're facing other things. So as such a huge topic, we don't have time to go super in depth, but I do want us to talk a little bit about this idea of what are Satan's schemes. 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul said, in order that Satan might not outwit us, it's a really funny, interesting term, that he might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Sometimes we are, but so I was going to do this on the board, but let's just talk about it. Let's talk a little bit about what we do know about Satan's schemes. If he's trying to get us, what are they? What?
He's a liar.
He's a liar.
Father of lies.
Father of lies. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The accuser of the brethren.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's so effective. So. Great call. Probably a grain of truth in whatever he says. That's lies. Yeah.
All
right, let me get Andy and then I'll get Steve.
Disguised
as an angel of light. Yeah, it's always very positive to start with. Yeah, Steve?
Appeals to your pride.
Appeals to pride. Wow. Yes. Appeals to your pride and self-righteousness. Yes, Clark?
Desire for the flesh.
Goes after desires of the flesh. Yep. I heard, I would recommend Olin Stubbs. He has a podcast called Truth Wars. If you've ever listened to it, he's got a great talk about Genesis 3. But his one of the things, and he says, sin starts with Satan. That's what the talk is about. But he talks about how, we are now facing, as Christians on this earth right now, we face the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. So we have the sins of the flesh in us. We have the world is just crashing in sin and the devil. His point was in the Garden of Eden, they didn't have those other two. They didn't have sinful flesh in the world. There's no sin, but they had the devil and that was enough. So that's just a warning as to his power. That was enough. Just having him. So other things. He's created. Okay. Created. Okay. There are limits. Yeah. Great point. Pervert scripture. Yeah. That's sneaky. Fear is a big, yeah, big result in a big weapon. Yes. Yes, Ken.
In the introduction to Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis says that he recognizes two problems in dealing with the devil, is we have tendency to not pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Or be too captivated by the devil.
Wow.
And that's where we as Christians have to discern.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. And there's some cultures that get on the, on either of those two extremes. Ours is probably where. I mean, where? Exactly. Yes.
There can't be a devil if there's not a God.
Well, that's true too.
There's a possibility for me to exist, but actually isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's maybe where we can fit in that. So. Yeah, he's a defeated enemy. That's right, but he doesn't act like it. And, that's part of the key. Roger? Oh, he firmly, that's so true. He doesn't back down. Yeah. Yeah, Olin made the point how persistent he is. And so he said, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but think of the times that you feel good. You've defeated a certain sin, a temptation, and in an hour you've done it. Because he just keeps coming back. And it's scripture where Satan departed but came back at a more opportune time. He's persistent and crafty and all of that is true. Maybe his best camouflage right now is we don't see that he exists. And we don't really see all these things for what they are. But I guess that's my point today is if the more we attempt to stand firm in this culture, in this time, it's almost, and again, I'm not going theological. I don't study this. I don't understand a lot of this, but it feels to me like there is a restraint that has been removed from the Lord on these satanic beings. We talk about Romans 1 and God giving them over to a reprobate mind or an unreasonable, irrational mind. How many times you hear debates about things in culture right now? You're like, what are we debating? Man, woman, like the most obvious things. And that feels satanic. And I'm, you know, clearly not unique in saying that, but it really is beginning to feel that to me. So the key is, and a question for us today is, as fast as we can do this, if we are not, if we clearly are aware of some of his schemes, this is great discussion, but so as to not be outwitted, what are things that we can do? And because that's what I want to take away from this. So let me just give some, we kind of talked about it when we talked about the way he acts, but if you look at Genesis 3, and when he's tempting Eve, he causes us to doubt God's word. You know, did God really say, and he uses a ton of God's word, like Genesis 3:1, where he's saying, did God really say you can't eat of any tree? And you look right back over Genesis 2:17, what God says, you can eat of any tree except the tree. So Satan changes one word from any to, from thee to any. And the point there is he's going to use a lot of truth, but he's going to cause you to doubt. So doubting God's word, the next was doubting God's wrath, because he said, Satan said, you're not going to really die if you do this, if you disobey, you're not going to really die. And he still does that to us. I mean, he says, you can sin. It's probably going to be worth it though. Never is. So to be aware that that's what he's doing. And then, so his word, his wrath, and his ways, the goodness of God, the fact that, we are, that's how he in the end got Eve. He's like, God's holding out on you. And, I think it was Olin. Somebody I heard recently was talking about, do you listen to people? And by people, I mean, you listen to yourself. But sometimes when you're rationalizing a sin or rationalizing or you're complaining, what you will hear is, what you're really saying is, God gave me a raw deal. God has given me a raw deal. He's not giving me the goodness. He's holding out that goodness. A quote, this lie got into the human bloodstream. So this is a natural thing. So just to be aware of that, that God's truth is the answer. He is good. We believe what he's told us. So let me go through just a few things from some of these passages. These are categories, but both in 1 Peter 5, where he first says, be self-controlled and alert. This is good. Just us talking about it will make you aware. It's so funny because one thing I thought of was Craig Branch. Craig was a tennis coach, great tennis player, and he would be, when he would coach tennis team, my daughter played on the team he coached, and he would just be standing there and the team would be standing around him holding a tennis ball, and then he'd just fire it at somebody. They're just standing there and they didn't catch it. And then he would go, he'd pick it back up, and then he'd do it again and they'd catch it. And he said, that's because you're aware. You're aware it's coming. And so his whole point on the tennis, it was when you're at the net to volley, you just got to be aware and ready. And I thought when I read be alert, that's what I thought of. Like if we're aware it's coming, then we know more about that. So the question, we're pretty good at seeing that in culture, what he's doing. But the real key is, I think it may have been Bruce Stallings that said one time that if I was Satan, how would I tempt me? If I was Satan, how would I tempt me? So you know your weaknesses. We all know what you failed at when you were 15, maybe the same thing that you fail now. I know that's very, very true in my life. It would be worry, fret. There's a million others. But think about, so you can be alert where he is tempting you. So I've got be alert, be armored. So the whole Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. It starts with belt of truth. And so to me that, and we're not going to go through the armor of God, but just that idea of the belt of truth. Truth is the ultimate defense to all this. The truth about his goodness, the truth about his love, his sovereignty. You did not get a raw deal. You got the deal that God wanted. So that is truth. It's a loving truth. So, be armed with the truth, spending time studying the truth. If you're not studying and listening to the truth, then you are defenseless. One that I really like. So I was trying to do all these A's here. Be aligned with others. Community is such a huge, and culture today, the world operates against community. You know, the virtual life, it's operating against this whole idea of one anothering. So just, we need to be aware of that. He is trying to separate you from the herd. That's what predators do. So, that's so clear in Ephesians. The armor of God is at the end of Ephesians. I tried to count and I stopped counting. There's 50 or 60 times Paul says things that are community related. us, we, you, use plurally, the church, one another. That's the way he views the Christian life. So community is important for us to stay together, for us to do these mission opportunities together, to know that. I like that here back in 1 Peter 5, he said, stand firm in the faith because you know your brothers throughout the world are going through this. I mean, that's something that is comforting. There's a community of believers believing the same thing, getting persecuted to some level. So to be encouraged by community. And then I thought of this that I like, and that is, let me do it from James 5:8. James 5:8 says, you too be patient and stand firm. So here's another one. James, stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. And what struck me this year at some point, I read a lot of diverse books. And so, and sometimes that can be confusing if I'm, reading a book on 70s rock music, and then I'm reading C.S. Lewis and a World War II. And I'm like, wait, was the Doobie Brothers in World War II? But every now and then, sometimes when I'm reading, the angles will hit me from one that apply to another. And so this sounded to me like an illustration of this fact. And there was a book that I read called They Fought Alone. It's about the French Resistance, and which I had not read about. We've heard about it. You know, we saw Hogan's Heroes. That's about the extent of what we knew. It apparently was not right, exactly like Hogan's Heroes, which I'm stunned. But so here's the deal. Less than 5% of the French population was in the resistance. This was in the 40s. France surrendered in 1940, and the Germans occupied France. Brutal occupation, long occupation for years and years. So the resistance was less than 5% of the French population. And they're just trying to disrupt the Nazis. And so reading this book, I mean, it sounds gallant and, you know, and courageous, and it was all of those things. But reading the book, if you think year after year, you're fighting, they were disorganized. They were just civilians mostly. The book is about two British soldiers who parachuted into France to kind of help organize some of these groups. So if you hear them, they are surrounded by 500,000 Germans. I mean, these people, again, are not trained. They were confused. There's lots of infighting within the groups. There's outright betrayal. I mean, some of the citizenry would go, don't make the Nazis mad. And they'd turn them in. And they'd betray each other. And so they were totally outnumbered. Example, they're going to blow up a bridge. And there'd be 15 partisans that would go try to blow this bridge up. And they would be met, because somebody had ratted them out, by 200 Nazis. Or maybe 500. They were totally outnumbered. So, and discouraged. They were losing hope. Danger all the time. But they started to hear that an Allied invasion was coming. And so there was hope. And they would hear, it's going to be summer of 1943. And they'd get excited. It didn't happen. It'd be, you know, October, March of 44, and it didn't happen. But then it did happen. So D-Day, June of 44, 1 million Allied troops hit France. And by the time they swept through France, there were 4 million Allied troops and 1 million Germans. And so by August of 44, Paris was liberated, and it took a while for the rest of France. But now these little pockets surrounded by Germans who were their bullies, defeated enemy, who said that. Now those guys are being hunted by this most powerful army that's ever existed, inexorable, coming to free them. And so once they start getting word about that, they are very bold. They get more organized. And so, James 5:8, again, be patient and stand firm because you know the Lord is coming. That's what it struck me, is that we are agents in an occupied land. It's never been more clear that Satan is the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4, Satan is the god of this world. That seems like, God, why would you let that happen? But he is the god of this world, and it is happening, but his time is limited. And so, one of the things that we can do in community is to share that hope, what's coming. Ultimate victory, whether it be us as a person going home to be with the Lord or when Jesus comes back, ultimate victory is going to be great. So let's encourage each other with that and help each other stand firm. Any thoughts, Jim?
Hey, John, did you know that if you make just a few words and say it over and over and over again, that you know, right? Turn off the calendar and don't worry about the crazy stuff. And when Jesus was being tempted, Satan was talking about, did he quote?
Yeah.
He probably didn't have the soul in his hand.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. That's the belt of truth for sure. It starts with that. And, yeah, sort of the word. Yes, Ken.
One of our most beloved hymns. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not at him. Although his grave is sure, although his doom is sure, one little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly power, no thanks to him by him.
Is that Mighty Fortress? Yeah. Incredible. I guess we sung it the other night, and yes, and I thought that it fits so well. This, thank you, thanks. Will you stand up in your chair and sing it? Wait, wrong person to ask. Oh yeah, it's there clearly. Okay, anything else? What? Oh, good. Yes.
The devil is not fighting them, but he's too smart for that. He's producing counterfeit Christianity so much like the real one that good Christians are afraid to see nothing.
That's a scary, perfect verse. If y'all couldn't hear that, I wish you could. I can't remember it enough, but it's counterfeit Christianity rather than him taking his own full new religion. Great. All right, well, let's pray and we can chat. Tears are going. Father, thank you that you are more powerful than Satan, and you've gathered a church together to encourage each other so that we can fight together. Help us to stand firm. If you're not with us, we can't stand. And so we pray that in Christ's name. Amen.